We're going to be looking in Proverbs, and the message that I have today is called Proverbs, the Fear of the Lord. So yesterday we looked at Proverbs, and what were we supposed to seek? Do you remember? What are we supposed to seek in Proverbs?
Wisdom.
Wisdom, that's right. And actually the book of Proverbs talks a lot about wisdom and everything. One of the things it also talks about is the fear of the Lord. It's mentioned like about, I think it's 15 times. And actually, that little half sheet that you have here today, that half sheet lists all of those verses in Proverbs that speaks of the fear of the Lord. So we're going to be going through each of those and not spending an awful lot of time probably on any particular verse. But I think what I want you to do is to get a culminating thought that I guess I'll give that culminating thought at the near the beginning here, and I'm going to be pointing it out throughout the message that I've got. So let's begin with a word of prayer. Father, I thank you for this time where we can take your word, which is to me really, really important, and we can meditate on it, we can digest it and chew on it, all that sort of thing. And sometimes it's just nice to be able to hear you speak to us. So, Father, I pray for the Holy Spirit to work, you know, your gift of miracles that you've got, and just take the words that are spoken here and make them relevant to each individual. Whatever it is that they're going through, make the words special so that they can take the words and not just kind of like forget them, but to actually let it become part of their foundation of what it means to stand on the rock for Christ. And this we pray through your Son, Jesus. Amen. So, as I said, Proverbs is kind of a neat book. It's written by King Solomon. We went over that last week. So if you kind of missed last week's message, we always keep the stuff on our website. You can always go back through. The archive section goes where the past messages, and then I have the pastor's message area where it's just this week here that's on there. And it's no charge to be on that. You know, so everybody's like, oh, how much does it cost? Nothing. It doesn't cost anything. Just to get on it and realize that you can listen to any of those messages or see what the church has been doing at any time. So here we're looking at, again, the words of King Solomon, who was probably one of the wisest men that was ever around in this world, as Scripture has spoken to. And it's kind of neat because as we look at this fear of the Lord, I always have gotten I think initially my sense of fear of the Lord was that God was some being up in heaven, and he carries this basically like this Thor hammer, right? And he's just eyeing the world as it spins, and he sees every individual that's on there, and he sees the things that you're doing, and he's just waiting for that person, me, to do a mistake. And he's ready to take that hammer and just go and pound it down on me. And that is to put the fear of God in me. You know, and I remember as a kid coming up that way. I was brought up Catholic, and sometimes there's some of that goes along with it. I don't have that fear anymore. Right? That's gone. It's completely gone. I do not fear God that way. However, I believe there's many people that have that fear yet today. And they may be even in the church here today. Have you ever heard somebody, you know, you invite them to come to church? Oh, I couldn't come there. The walls would fall down, you know? You know why they say that? Because they're saying that God's going to take that little hammer, big hammer, right? And he's going to smash them, and that things are going to go squash all over, because it's just, there's that fear that we have. Well, I have come to know God and to know that that is not God's character to do that. God's character is to show mercy and grace and forgiveness over and over and over again. And there comes to a time where God said, enough is enough. But he never ever lets anybody not have that opportunity to repent. Right? And I've seen that over and over again. Not just in my life, but in the lives of the people that I have direct contact with. And how important that is to know. Right? And then we also look at this, the fear of the Lord isn't really so much that, but there's a certain awesomeness of God, you know, the majestic aspect of God and how big He is and how powerful He is. And we just stand back in awe, thinking, you know, you're like, wow. And you think of the times when some of His prophets, we know, came before God, even like Daniel, or there was times where Isaiah was brought before God. And as soon as they're in the presence of God, Isaiah, I think it's chapter 6, it's, I think so, just speaks and just says how unworthy he is to be in God's presence and how sinful he is, because you're comparing yourself now, not with individuals around you, but you're comparing yourself with God Almighty. And in that essence, you know, that there's this awesomeness that you can't even stand before God because of who he is. And so when we look at the fear of the Lord, what that means, it might mean something a little bit different to each and every one of us. However, what I'd like to share today is that I feel that it's even more than just understanding the awesomeness of God. All right, so we're going to look at a couple scripture verses here. I'll do them very moment. And start to begin to see maybe why it might be more than just understanding the awesomeness of God that's there. So the first verse I've got, let me see if it's, probably have to click on here. There we go. Is and these are all in the order of the way they are presented in Scripture, so I didn't rearrange anything. And there's stuff in between these verses, but just to begin to look at it. We actually saw this last week, Proverbs 1:7. It says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline." So, knowledge just means knowing. And I'm going to tell you, this is really weird, because I could never understand this, because I think for myself, I have always known that God is there. I don't know why, just even as a young child, I knew that God was there. There are people and students in school that have no concept of God. And it just blows my mind how they can not even know that there is a God out there. And I feel like that's a reflection of the church not doing what they're supposed to be doing. Isn't that what we're supposed to do? Is preach the gospel? And if people are out there that have no idea that there's even a God present, then I feel like we have failed sometimes in what we were doing. So when Armando is talking about doing a, you know, praying for this new year that there's a revival of God, those people that have no idea that there's God, maybe what they need to know is have a knowledge that God is there, because that is the beginning of everything. Right? And that's what Scripture is saying right here. It's the beginning of knowledge. And it says, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. Because when you start to know that there's a God out there, a greater being than us, a being that created us and has a plan for us, then we kind of need to listen to that individual. It's kind of like a mom and dad. You know, you listen to mom and dad and stuff. And then you have to abide by that as well. Right? And just think of the children that despise their parents. What kind of life that creates for them. They start to go down these rabbit holes that are really bad rabbit holes. And sometimes there's almost no escape. And in true honesty, there is no escape from that until they find the Lord. Right? So knowledge of the Lord is going to be really, really important of that. We get to Proverbs 1, verses 28 through 30. And think about this one here in terms of when we don't choose the fear of the Lord, right? And to have that. It says this, "Then they will call to me, but I will not answer. They will look for me, but will not find me. Since they hated knowledge," right? The knowledge of the Lord. "And did not choose to fear the Lord," And I like that. We have a choice in which to fear the Lord or not fear the Lord. I'm going to interject a bunch of little things here. And it goes back with my experiences and stuff like that. One of my first experiences that caused my jaw to drop when I had my first principal, teacher, student conference. Guy's name was Toby, right? And I never really understood what the whole point was, but I was having a big conflict with him. And I just remember going into the conference, and Toby was the first to be able to speak. And my mouth dropped because of the amount of lies that came out of him about the things that I did, I said, you know. And it's like, that was nothing to like what it really was. Unbelievable. Now, the principal was really good because I was a greenhorn, you know, when it came to teaching and stuff like that. And I had no clue. And he had my back, which I really, really appreciated, that sort of thing. But he gave me some words of wisdom. And his biggest thing was, remember and record everything. Because kids will lie. And so he's experienced a lot of that stuff there too. So when we look at this here, that child, Toby, had no fear of standing or sitting there before the principal, who was a senior person, right? And to lie to his face and to me. And I'm thinking, that child has no fear of the Lord or any repercussions that kind of come with it. And it's like it says, they choose to not have the fear of the Lord. And he was bold in that area. He sounded really convincing. But it was nothing but lies. And since they would not accept my advice, they spurred my rebuke. There are consequences for not fearing the Lord. And when we look at these ones here, it shuns God. And God says, if you don't want me, that's fine. You're on your own. But the God that I know, he's always like, but if you come to me, right? And if you get to that point where you're ready to know me, and you're ready to have the fear of God placed in your heart, I'm there for you. And I'll even guide you, and I'll be there by your side every moment of the day. I'll even be whispering in your ears. But you know what? We become desensitized to God when we don't have that fear of God. And this is really what happens, is that that God isn't there for us, and God can't share. Look at this one here. Again, it goes back to that sense of family that I spoke about last week, that there's a job that we as parents have to do. And as the beginning of the year, let's begin by taking the wisdom that God has. So in Proverbs 2, 1 through 6, it says, my son, if you accept my words and store my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding, and if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as for silver and search for it for hidden treasure. And do you know what the it is that we're talking about? That's that wisdom, right? That Proverbs continually talks about. Then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. So there's a job that we have to do. We have to seek the Lord. And that's what all of last week's message was about. Seek that wisdom that God has for us. And I don't want to go over that more, but what I want to say is that in this area, that should be our focus. And if we don't sense that we have this fear of the Lord in us, that awesomeness that's there, then we really need to seek that. Seek God. Try to find out who he is. Find his character. Figure out who he is and what he does and why he does what he does. Because when we get to that point and actually start to reflect on his word, you know what he does? He talks to us. And he starts to show us things. Our minds are starting to open up. Because we are looking for Him. Think about this aspect. You drive through town, and you say, "Oh, this is a nice town and everything." And you know, you see maybe some Christmas lights that are up, and you see this, you know, the streets and sidewalks and the houses that are there. But if you were a roofer, what would you be looking at? Would you be looking at the sidewalks? Would you be looking at the nice painted houses and stuff like that? You're going to look at every roof, and you're going to say, "You know what? That person needs a roof. This one over here, I bet you that roof is like 5 years old. This one over here, that tin roof, you know, I bet you that's probably like 10, 15 years old. There's this other place over there." You know, that's what they're looking for, because that's who they are. And someone asked me one time, he says, "How do you come up with your messages and stuff like that?" He said, "That just seems like crazy." And I was like, "Because that's what I'm looking for. All week long, I'm looking for what God wants me to give you on Sunday." Or even sometimes before that, you know. And it's like, I like the series because it gives me a little bit more time to be thinking about stuff. And so we're going to be doing Proverbs for a little while. And I like that because that's what I'm looking for. And you know what? God reveals those things that you're looking for. And he looks at it. But these people that drive through town, not the roofers and stuff, they have no idea that there's 5 houses that need a brand new roof this year or it's going to be really bad. Because that's not what they're looking for. And so it's all about seeking and trying to do this. And so he says, turn your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. Call out inside, even cry out for understanding. Look for it as if it's physical treasure that you might have in this world that benefits you. But this will benefit you internally and all around. And that's really part of my point, is that the fear of the Lord is more than just knowing the awesomeness of God. Right? We're starting to get to that and starting to see a little bit of what Proverbs is leading up to. And Proverbs 3, 7 through 8 says, "Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones." All right, so how many people think that they're rocket scientists? Right? We may not think that, but in our own profession, whatever that might be, you know, we are the experts in it. All right, I've been teaching now for like 30 years. I'm an expert. I'm putting that in quotation, all right, because I don't really feel like I'm an expert and stuff like that. But I pray to God that God gives me the wisdom to do what I need to do in school. I know I'm not a perfect teacher, all right, but I'm not a first-year teacher either. So I do have some experience that goes along with it. And that part is good. But I know that if I decide to just do this on my own intellect, right, that's where problems really start to arise. And I rely on the Lord every day. So when a student does some silly thing, right, that I don't blow up myself. There was a student that was, it was kind of funny, and sometimes I do it theatrically, right? There was one student did something screwy, so I kind of like, I never ever like yell in class, but sometimes I get this deep, strong voice, you know, that goes across like, "Oh, I mean what I say, and it's going to be that way." And finally, this kid threw a fit, and I'm like, you know, "You need to go to the office." There was some qualms there, and I'm like, "You need to go to the office." And finally, he storms out, goes to the office and stuff. Then I get back into teaching, just like I was before. And some kids said, like, "How do you flip the switch like that?" And, you know, it's like, and it's because that isn't what makes my day. You know, that student, right? There's other things that are more important to me, things that I'm seeking. Yeah, that stuff's going to happen, but I don't let that destroy my day, right? And I thank God that He gives me the ability to be able to just shut that stuff out, because there's, you know, 14 other kids in that class that need an instructor for the day. Right? They don't need a tyrant and stuff. So as we look at this right here, so we need to be wise in the eyes of the Lord, in His eyes, not in ours, because we are imperfect vessels in a lot of ways. Right? There's things that we do better than other people, but really we are imperfect vessels all the way. And because when we get to know that, to fear the Lord, what do we get to shun? But evil. There's a discernment in your heart that comes from the fear of the Lord. And you see, this is more than just looking at God saying, oh, you're an awesome God. Now all of a sudden, that awesomeness is having an effect on us in terms of the discernment of what it is that is good and that which is bad, or that which brings death and that which brings life. Because when we start to shun evil, all of a sudden now, our lives start to be different. And it says here that there will be health and nourishment to our bodies. A certain happiness, or sometimes Christians put it in as a peace overcomes me, or I have a joy even when I'm going through cancer. Why? Because I have the fear of the Lord in me, and to know that He is something awesome, and that He is influencing my life right now, no matter what it is that I'm going through. His attributes become my attributes. And I'm not the same person as I was before I had the fear of God inside of me. So, let's go on to the next one here. Proverbs 8, 12, 14. It says, I, wisdom. And so this is like all of Proverbs, and when they speak and stuff, references themselves, wisdom as I, dwell together with prudence. And do you remember what prudence was? Prudence was being able to take the wisdom we have and to look down different paths. This path here, this one here is going to cause conflict down this way, or this one over here, yep, this is the path that God wants me to take. You go down that path and there's more paths to go off. Where do I go? Prudence is being able to choose the path for the wisdom. And from the wisdom that you've got, that's right. So, dwell together with prudence. I possess knowledge and discretion, right? So now we have that discernment that we're talking about. We have the knowledge of the Lord all coming in through it. It says to fear the Lord is to hate evil. Now, it is not just about being able to say, this is evil, this is good, but now you have in your heart a hate for evil. And you have a love for the Lord. Do you see how this is starting to get complex, and it's not just an exterior thing in your lives, but now it's becoming an internal thing within your life. And it says, I hate pride and arrogance, which is really evil. Evil behavior and perverse speech. Counsel and sound judgment are mine. I have understanding and power. There, you are different than evil. Because you have a goodness in you. You have God in you giving you direction and caring. And when somebody says something, it's not like little tiny red flags go up. Huge flags go up. And you've got to do something about that. There was a time I was taking a class in, it was for the American Baptist Association, for to do some lay speaking and stuff. And I was just really doing it to be a friend with a person and stuff. And there was this, the teacher wasn't a Baptist, and they were talking about, it was kind of like being tolerant of other religions and stuff. And Christianity in the World or something like that was the name of it. And she was talking about how she has a Muslim friend, and they're real good friends and everything. And she's like, you know, that's, and we basically serve the same God. And all of a sudden, my, you know, I just, this heat came right over my body. You know, I'm just going, I'm fidgeting there. And she just kept going on. And then I just kind of blurted out, then why do we send missionary people out in Muslim areas? You know, and it's like, if they're the same God. And it's like, it's funny. People are just telling me, calm down, Mike, calm down. And it's like, but it's like I couldn't, it was all, it just overwhelmed me. You know, you can't say that everybody serves the same God and they just call it a different name, because that's not true. People serve false gods. Like I said earlier, there is one true God. It's the one true God that we have. The one that died for our sins. Makes it real for us. And so, you know, things like that will come out, and you'll be able to call a spade for a spade, you know, and a heart for a heart. There won't be question, well, maybe a little bit there, a little bit there. You know, and when I first started teaching, my threshold for what was wrong was maybe about here, you know. And then kids would walk over that. I'm like, well, I'll move my threshold up a little bit, you know. Next thing, my threshold right now is about an inch off the ground. I don't let kids ever get to that point. And, you know, because of that, I don't write kids up anymore. I don't have to. They know my expectations when they come in. It's so much easier, and it makes my life better because I have better judgment now than what I had when I first started teaching. And I still say that judgment comes from knowing the Lord. And this is, and I can see where those kids are coming in and making that choice to do something wrong. I stop them before they get really bad because it's bad for them. And I don't want them to go through that sort of thing. There's times that I take them to my office, which is just down the hallway, you know, just outside the door. And I'll just, you know, have a two-minute chat with them. It makes a world of difference because I'm not doing it in front of everybody, right? And it just it's a way that you can respect them and still do it. And I hardly ever do that because now I explain, you know, what I want done in the beginning. So let's go on to Proverbs 9:10. It says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding." So this is real simple. That if you don't know God, right, you have no wisdom, you have no knowledge or anything. Because all of it comes from Him. Every bit of it. So again, it goes back to, you know, don't do things on your own wisdom because it's not enough. It doesn't go anywhere. And it just kind of ties up with this. So I'm going to stop here a moment. And I want to really let you know, and I've kind of alluded to it already, but to me, the fear of the Lord is really what it does. It comes down to is just serving the Lord with all of your heart. Because I want you to think about this, right? Say you're out in Kansas, and there's this huge drought. And you can just imagine Kansas kind of being a flat land and stuff like that, a few trees here and there, not a lot. And even the weeds are dead. And you just look out over the landscape, which you can see for miles upon miles and miles. And as we drove out west, it was just like sky. Remember that, Hope? We went out to Colorado and just sky all over the place. But when you look down on the ground, there's just dead stuff. You got that yellowish look to your, you know, and everything that's there. And then you take a trip all the way to, say, to the East Coast, and you go to Maine or Colorado, you know, the North Carolina or something. What's that place where everybody goes to North Carolina where the beaches are?
Outer Banks.
What is it?
Outer Banks.
Yeah, the Outer Banks. Thank you. And you just see the enormity of water. And there's that huge disparity between the drought and all that water. And I can just imagine just standing there thinking, wow, that water is something else. You've got some knowledge that there's water out there, right? There's a dry land. All of a sudden there's this knowledge that you have of water. But what you don't understand about that water is that water is pretty powerful of the ocean. Storms that come up and that there's life in that water, you know, the fish, the whales and all that sort of stuff. And that there's people that use that water, you know, for their professions in terms of like fishermen and stuff. So when the fisherman goes out into the water, that awesomeness water over there, they have a fear of the water because they know how dangerous the water can be. There's many a soldier or a sailor that has died out at sea because of the storms that have come up. So a sailor or a fisherman that goes out into the sea often, they start to develop a sense in terms of the wind smells funny. And they'll say things like that. Or, you know, the reds, what's that? The reds, what is it?
Red sky at night, sailor's delight.
Yes, red sky at night, sailor's delight. Red sky in the morning, sailor's delight. Yeah. Oh, is it the other way?
Warning,
sailor's warning, yeah. Yeah, see, I am not a sailor, okay? Probably don't want to go out with me in that area there. But what we're looking at is that they can read signs of the water, the way that the tide, you know, the waves are coming in. They're different. They're coming in at a different angle. And they can sense the storms coming up. or when they're somewhere around, you know, as they're out there, there's these things that happen to them where they pick up on little cues of maybe where the fish are, or, you know, and that. It's what makes them a great sailor, a great fisherman of where they are. And I feel like that is, in essence, what we talk about in the fear of the Lord. It's not that you just know the Lord. You just not know that He's an awesome God. But you're going out into an area, into the if I can call it, the fear of the Lord, by doing His work, having no idea what's going to happen, but you listen to Him. And you pick up on the sense that He has, and you act accordingly. To me, that, if I'm explaining it right enough to you, that's the fear of the Lord. That the fear of the Lord is God guiding you in everything that you do. Because you know of His awesomeness, you know of His wisdom, you know of His grace and mercy, you know of His commandments, and you know of what He wants of you because you are living in it. Sometimes I feel there's a lot of Christians that just like to be on the skirt of living in the fear of the Lord. And all they want is the awesomeness that comes from it. You know, the beautiful music that comes sometimes from church services and stuff. But sometimes what they really forget to do is to submit themselves to the Lord while that music's going. That is the fear of the Lord and living in it. So when we start looking at it from that perspective, we come over here to Proverbs 10:27. It says, the fear of the Lord adds length of life. Because now, however long you live, because I know there's some Christians that have died early, and there's been some people, evil people, that have lived a really long time, and you're going to say, that's not right. But I'll tell you this, it says right here that it adds length of life, and what it does, it adds real life to you. For the time that you have remaining here, that you have true life, and of course you're going to have that life eternal with God, and that adds to it as well. But the point is that we're living a life now which is really important, but the years of the wicked are cut short. Yeah, they may have a time where they appear to be prosperous, but that's all going to be taken away from them because they don't have the fear of the Lord. In Proverbs 14:27, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. Right? Now it's not just a simple life, but now all of a sudden we are overflowing. You know, there's that fountain just eternally keeps moving and shining, and that fountain kind of, it always draws people. You know, whenever there's that square in the city, and inside the center of that is a fountain, guess what people go to? They go to that fountain because there's movement. There's life in that water, right? And it says, the fear of the Lord is a mountain of life, turning a man from the snares of death. That the fear of the Lord then directs us where we're supposed to go and keeps us away from those evil things that we so easily get entrapped into. But with God, having that God inside of us, and we're living in that fear of the Lord, that, you know, it stops us from taking those wrong paths. Proverbs 15:16 says, better a little with the fear of the Lord than great wealth with turmoil. All right, so it's so easy to get pulled away from the Lord by the wealth of this world or the certain sort of things. Because, you know, it's like, well, if I'm rich, Lord, I guess I don't need you anymore. You provided for me. And that's the fear. You know, sometimes, you know, there's a verse that Hope really likes. And it's like, Lord, don't keep me so poor that, you know, I'm out to go steal. But don't make me so rich that I forget you. That's a Proverbs. And it's an awesome one to be able to keep in mind. It's like, let's be content with what we have. Proverbs 15:13, it says, the fear of the Lord teaches a man wisdom, and humility comes before honor. Right? So don't think of yourself as greater than anybody else. This whole deal with working as a Christian and stuff, that we're not on a ladder where, you know, you go get these rungs and you go higher and stuff like that. Where, you know, the guy at the highest rung, obviously he's, you know, closer to God and everything. That's not how Christianity works. We're kind of on a level plane, right? We're all brothers and sisters in Christ, and we are on the path to eternity. And you know what we're doing on that path? We're helping others along that path. It's not a race to get to the end. It's a race to do God's will while you're there, while the time that we have is set up on there. So it's not about getting ahead, and it's about serving other people and having humility before us. And we can have humility because we have God. We don't. There's a lot of people that are very insecure, so they like to show themselves how good they are and everything. Well, it's like, that doesn't impress me at all. What impresses me are those humble people that know who they are. They're sons and daughters of Christ, right? Proverbs 16:6 says, "Through love and faithfulness, sin is atoned for. Through the fear of the Lord, a man avoids evil." Right? So God's character, love and faithfulness, He has atoned for that sin so that we can serve Him and do His things and not go like the wayward son. Right? We can avoid this evil. We have the ability in which to be able to do that. Our bodies do not decide what we do. Right? Our spirit decides what we do. And if our spirit is connected with God, then we have the strength to be able to do what we need to do. Proverbs 19:23, the fear of the Lord leads to life, which we've already talked about. It says, then one rests content, untouched by trouble. Now, does this mean that we don't have trouble in life? No. What it means is we can sleep at night because I'm not afraid that the police are going to come knocking on the doors for the things that I've done. We can sleep at night that I'm not going to get caught because I was cheating on my wife. We can sleep at night because the IRS isn't going to come in knowing that I've embezzled a whole bunch of money over time because I've been doing what God has asked me to do and I'm honest with it. And I'm at peace with myself. That is resting in the fear of God. Because there isn't anything that I've done, you know, that would shame God. And I'm untouched by the troubles of this world. Even though, again, like I'm going through cancer or I've just had a job loss, I know that God's going to cover for me. Because He always has in the past and He will in the future. And I love this verse here. Proverbs 22:4 says, humility and the fear of the Lord bring wealth and honor and life. Now that wealth doesn't necessarily mean material possessions. But it means a wealth of love, a wealth of joy, a wealth of discernment that we have. And because of that, you know, we honor God and man in our lives that we have here today. Proverbs 23, 17 through 18. Do not let your hearts envy sinners, but always be zealous for the fear of the Lord. There is surely a future hope for you, and your hope will not be cut off. And this is the hard part. Habakkuk, which is one of my favorite minor Old Testament prophets, he cries out to the Lord, Lord, stop this! Can't you see all these sinners that are around me? And yet they're the ones that are being prosperous and stuff, and your own people are the ones that are being persecuted. Fix it! Why are you allowing that to happen? It's like the same thing. Eventually, Habakkuk just comes down to it and he just says, I'm trusting you because the Lord says, I'll do what I need to do. And we're supposed to be zealous for the fear of the Lord. Don't look at people who are seen prosperous because there's a show. You don't see the inside of them, which is probably rot. Now, not all of them are rot that are rich. I'm not saying that. But there probably is something in there and that's there. And it's very difficult to have wealth and to serve the Lord too. So it's a huge, huge responsibility. But to know that there is a future, a hope for us, is really important. In Proverbs 24, verses 21 through 22, he says, fear the Lord and the king, my son, and do not join with the rebels, or rebellious. For those two, which is the Lord and the king, will send sudden destruction upon them, the rebellious, and who knows what calamities they can bring. You've read Revelations, or you've heard about that, right? That there'll be all types of tribulations and trials and stuff that will come. This is the time now in which to prepare for those. We don't know when Christ is going to come. But what we have right now, we have the Bible, we have brothers and sisters in Christ, we have a time in which to know the Lord and to live in the fear of God, so that when that time comes, right, we'll be counted as one of those worthy to be brought up to heaven. And that's important. The fear of the Lord is an awesome thing. It's more than just knowing that God is awesome. It's living in that awesomeness and trusting Him that we can do His will. And then He'll just carry us through all of that. Pretty prayerful stuff, eh? All right, Lord, just thank You for this message that we have here today. Proverbs is an awesome book. There's a lot there. Give us some time to digest some of these things that are spoken here today. Reflect on it. Meditate on these words. And Lord, enter us. We need You for the decisions that we make, for the things that we're doing. We want to honor You in all of our lives. And the only way we can do that is by living in the fear of God. And this I pray through Your Son, Jesus. Amen.